as I said before the break, it is Thursday, and that, of course, means we have some excellent political commentary coming your way because it is time for Overhyped and Underplayed.
Overhyped. Create jobs and opportunity.
In this election,
here's what I want to do.
Or Underplayed.
Scott Reed, CTV News political commentator and former communications director for Prime Minister Paul Martin, joins us now to break down his commentary on some of the biggest political stories of the week. Scott, how you doing?
Just great. Just great. You know, I love nothing more than 40 degree weather. I like to, you know, but as a man of, let's say, ample size, I find I'm extremely sensitive to temperature change until we hit 31 degrees. And after that, it's all over. I just give
up. It's just all bad.
I'm just an unwrung rag. So
are you just sitting next to the air conditioner right now, Scott?
Well, it's the old Ed McMahon joke, you know. I sit in my boxers with the fridge door open until the sales staff at Sears asked me to leave.
There's so many listeners out there that are very grateful for that visual that you just gave them right now, Scott. I'm not one of them, but I appreciate it no less. Okay, so let's jump into this. I want to start out talking about Jean Charest. There's a couple of interesting things. First of all, this morning we're learning from the Conservative Party of Canada that there will be a third leadership debate. This is something, of course, that Charest has been gunning for. And also some talk early over in the recent days about potentially down the road, Charest creating a coalition, a center-right coalition, whether it's time for that. So what do you think? These issues, overhyped, underplayed? What is it?
How could they be hyped, much less overhyped? These, like, so first of all, let's take them in sequence. The debate. Okay, fine. Have a debate. I mean, like, there's no harm in having a debate. But this race is over. Ballots are being mailed in. Memberships are sealed up. And anybody who hasn't actually, like, you know, looked through the chicken bones or tea leaves, let me give you a little future news here. Pierre Poilievre wins. Okay. Jean Charest, not going to win. Patrick Brown dropping out only makes it harder for Charest, not easier, not better for Charest. So this thing is over. Have your debate, whatever. No one will care. It will affect very little. As for Charest forming his own party, like, come on. Come on. Do you know how a... Yes, it's a ridiculous notion. There is no such possibility. First of all, he's not going to do it. I would think that after the drubbing he's taken during this race, he would be like, you know what? I want to retire and have people remember me as I was, not as I have been throughout this race and the result. And finally, like, why? Like, you can't succeed in launching your own party unless you have a genuine movement behind you. There's no movement going on right now. We are now facing a pitched battle between Pierre Poilievre and the forces that oppose Pierre Poilievre. That's how this election's going to come down. This is going to be a referendum on whether or not we're going to permit this kind of politics to proceed. And I, for one, am suiting up heavily. So there aren't going to be third, fourth options in this race. It's bad news for the NDP, much less for somebody who thinks, oh, I'm going to start my own party. Not happening.
You don't think that there's going to be conservative voters that are wanting another option other than the far right politics that Poilievre is playing? I know that you would love for everybody to go to Team Liberal, but you don't think that there's going to be people shouting from the rooftops for something different?
No, I've had this argument over and over and over again. I've had it with Evan. I've had it with anybody who will stand still, right? And, you know, this notion that there's a battle going on, that there's some grand contest for the soul of the Conservative Party, people aren't paying attention. That battle was waged and lost by centrist conservatives. Like, it's not, there is no such thing as a red Tory. Yeah, you'll find some people out there who go, well, I don't know that I feel like I have a home now. But, like, the Conservative Party wants Pierre Poilievre. It wants this brand of politics. It has jumped in with both boots. It is the convoy party. It is the party of anti-vax. Like, that's where it's at. Those are the choices it's made. That is what it wants to be. And so now there's one choice. Are we going to allow that kind of politics to succeed? Because if it does, it'll get copied. And it's an awful brand of politics. So that's the reality of it. Will those people, will there be people who are disaffected? Of course, there always is. But, you know, the Conservative Party isn't going, oh my God, we're so divided and riven. They're not. If they were, this would be a contest, and it isn't. It's a beating.
I don't consider myself aligned as much as people on the text board would disagree with this, calling me a commie day in, day out, all that. I don't consider myself aligned with any particular political party in Canada, but I just find it hard to believe that Pierre Poilievre's politics are in line with most conservatives in the country. You really think that's the truth?
Who cares what I think? The evidence speaks for itself.
That's why we have you here. Lots of people care about what you think, Scott.
This is like an archaeologist who refuses to believe that the pyramids were built. I mean, come on. The guy sold 500,000 memberships or whatever it is. There's an overwhelming endorsement of him from caucus members. There are massive, enthusiastic crowds wherever he goes. This is what conservatives and those who they are recruiting, you know, into their coalition want. This is for sure what they want. Now, of course, you can't make a universal statement. There are people who will support Sheree. There will be people who will be disaffected. Many of my old friends who are red Tories don't like this. But, like, this is what the Conservative Party wants. And the evidence is indisputable.
I thought you said red Tories don't exist.
They don't exist as a functioning unit any longer. You know, they sort of sit around the Toronto Club and Albany Club and, you know, drink beer and moan about, you know, Bob they complain about Bob Stanfield never having, a real shot in 1972. Like, it's over, man. It's lights out. Sorry. Like, that's it.
Okay. What about city councillors? Is it over for city councillors in Toronto and Ottawa and them having a proper say? Doug Ford giving more powers to these mayors, by the sounds of it, in the weeks to come, wanting to make the strong mayor system. What do you make of the coverage we've had of this over the last, what is it, just 24 hours, 36 hours, something like that? Overhyped, underplayed?
I think it's still probably underplayed as a story in certain terms of its importance. Personally, I come down in favor of a strong mayor system, and there are merits and demerits. The reason I say it's underplayed is that it's an important and valuable debate. Like, it's a debate worth engaging in because there are major consequences and implications when you change the governance model of a place as large and as living in as Toronto. I mean, it's the engine of Ontario. Ontario is the economic engine of Canada. Like, this is not an unimportant thing. I also think some of those arguments make the case for why you ought to have a different governance structure. But, you know, it's a debate that ought to happen. And so, you know, I hope that when Ford brings forward the legislation, there'll be hearings, there'll be an argument, there will be, you know, I hope it isn't just like pencil whipped through, because I do think it's a debate worth occurring. But if I'm going to be honest, I vote in favor of a strong mayor system, because I think that it makes no sense to me to elect a mayor citywide who only has the effective powers of a lone counselor, and who spends his whole time, therefore, looking for lowest common denominator consensus, which means that you are going to get weak tea, even if what you need is the strong green stuff.
Scott, there's one more I want to get your take on here, because we just have a minute left, but the turbine issue. I mean, that's just a story that wouldn't go away for our prime minister. Do you think that it's been overhyped or underplayed when it comes to how the media has been covering the fact that the Russian, you know, state-led gas provider has said, maybe we won't be speeding up our gas to European nations anytime soon, even though the government of Canada has overturned or made this exemption in their sanctions?
I think the story is overhyped in this respect. I think that people, close observers of politics, are being too breathless. And I'm heavily influenced by my background. I worked for a prime minister. I worked for a couple prime ministers, and I worked in premier's offices. And I've seen the kind of compromises you have to make. Massive pressure from Germany, massive pressure for European partners saying, listen, if you don't do this, we're going to end up in a situation where the front will disassemble. We'll end up having to buckle and take Russian oil. Massive pressure from the White House. So, you know, in contrast to the rhetoric, we'll do anything to stand with Ukraine, this looks bad. But, you know, these are unfortunately the kinds of geopolitical decisions you're sometimes forced to make. It's not a moral foreign policy. It's a strategic foreign policy. And it's ugly when you have to make those choices and defend them.
Thanks for your take on that and all the other issues, Scott. Scott Reed, sitting in his boxers next to an open refrigerator, but taking the time to talk with us today, CTV News political commentator, former communications director for Prime Minister Paul Martin. Thanks so much for joining us, Scott.
Thank you. Ciao.